Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truth and the myths of the people and events that have created the Sunshine City. My name is Rui Frias, and I have the best job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years, and now we're happy to share them with you. When you learn about our city's history, there are key names that just roll off the tongue. In every book written about St. Pete, you learn the names of pioneers and founders who helped create the Sunshine City. You can't walk around our city without discovering Perry Snell, William Straub, John Williams, Elder Jordan Sr., Charles Roser, Connie Cone, or Fanny Ponder. And these are just to name a few. But one name is painfully missing. Probably one of the most important early residents and city benefactors is basically ignored. And it's time that we do something about it. Unless you're walking around Mirror Lake, you don't come across Edwin Tomlinson's name anywhere in our city. And that's a shame. So in honor of Father's Day, let's talk about the man who really should be our founding father. Tomlinson's story is one of a man who adopted a small town in the late 1800s and used his wealth to create a vibrant city. So let's look at the original world's most interesting man. Born in Connecticut, Tomlinson served in the Union Army during the Civil War and later went into the vocation of mining and drilling for oil. And this is what created his wealth and what took him on travels throughout Europe, Central and South America, and the United States. During his travels, Tomlinson fought Indians in Death Valley. He dodged icebergs off of Labrador and was received by Pope Pius IX while he was in Italy. In 1891, his travels brought him to St. Petersburg, many say because he was convinced that there was oil in Florida. 4 years later, he moved for good to the Sunshine City, and he brought his checkbook with him. The same year Tomlinson arrived, he donated 250 silk flags, bunting, and costumes for children as he organized the first Washington's Day birthday parade, which later developed into what we now know as the Festival of States. And to add to that, he also donated musical instruments to the graded school at Fifth Street and Second Avenue North, so the children could actually form a band at the school. That's just the beginning. To honor his father, Peter, and to help cement the town's moral fiber, Tomlinson looked around and realized that there were very few churches in this town. So he donated the money to build the Cathedral Church of St. Peter on the corner of 4th Street and 2nd Avenue North. He also provided the church with a European pipe organ. But he couldn't just let that go because he also had to look to his mother and honor her because it would have been, not a very comfortable Christmas had he not done this. But in the early 1900s, Tomlinson honored his mother by building the city's first actual hospital, the Augusta Memorial Hospital off of 6th Street South. Like many people who arrived in St. Petersburg at that time of the late 1800s, early 1900s, the homes that were being built were not two-bedroom, one-bath, carport, ranch-style homes. And Tomlinson's home was fit for a king. Scores of home mansions were popping up throughout the downtown. But the grandest of all was the Victorian Palace Tomlinson built on the corner of 4th Street and 2nd Avenue South. He actually purchased the land from 4th Street all the way down to the water and between 2nd and 4th Avenues South. Along with that mansion, right off of 2nd Avenue, and actually pretty close to the back door of the Mahaffey Theater, he built a pier about 1,800 feet out onto Tampa Bay. Because back then, I mean, all you had to do was buy the land from mostly the state of Florida that was under the water, and you could do what you want with it, like build your own pier. So he does. He built this 1,800-foot pier out onto Tampa Bay. At the very end of that pier, he built a little cottage. And if you're from up north, if you're from way up north, right, you understand this. In that cottage, he cut out holes in the floorboard so he and his father could sit in their rocking chairs and just drop their lines into the water and fish in comfort through the hole in the floor. On the land next to the end of his pier, he one day discovered a number of bubbles, let's say, that were coming out of the water. And everybody has to understand that, St. Pete had quite a few natural springs back in the day before we paved over them all. But these bubbles were special. He decided to drill and bring the water on shore. And when that happened, it became known, or it became rumored, that he discovered what Juan Ponce de Leon came looking for in 1513, the Fountain of Youth. Now, we won't even go there, because that whole Juan story is not true, but that's for another episode here. What he did hit was an artesian well, and despite its foul smell, I mean, the water smelled horribly, and people complained about it because you can smell it all over town, someone was brave enough to drink from it. They felt great. They felt energized. They felt happy. And before you know it, that rumor spread. Well, it didn't take long for the water to be tested, and then they discovered that it had an ungodly amount of lithium in it, which, of course, you know, turned that well, or turned that fountain, into happy water. And the well was, you know, was capped. A new well was drilled. Regular spring water came out of it. But our very first tourist attraction, the Fountain of Youth, which still sits on First Street at the entrance of the Mahaffey Theater, you know, was born. A couple other things he did, and this was kind of a folly. Tomlinson knew a gentleman by the name, his last name was Marconi. And if you know anything about radio, he's the father of radio. He built a series of towers around St. Petersburg, a 14-story high, 137-foot towers to accommodate radio experiments. Marconi promised him that he was going to come to St. Petersburg and complete research on this new invention called the radio. But the United States government had some other ideas. Marconi never made it to St. Pete, and of course, the radio's first use was used in military efforts for the United States. But that didn't stop Tomlinson. Of everything he did in the city, his heart was behind education. So he starts writing checks to build schools. Right behind what is now City Hall on 2nd Avenue and 5th Street still stands a building that was first built, known as the Manual Training Center. This is another gift to St. Pete from Tomlinson. It was the city's first brick school. He paid $10,000 to build the building. It offered classes in homemaking, manual arts, military science. Pretty much when you went to that school and you came out of it, you were kind of MacGyver. You could do anything. It was a somewhat private school, although he paid for everything, including the teachers and the students' tuitions. He would later give the building and the land to the city. In 1902, though, he built an annex to that Manual Training Center, which at the time was the city's largest structure at 4th Street and 1st Avenue South. The facility seated 2,500 people. It was used for basketball games, different physical education courses, cadet company drills. He later sold the land and the building at a loss, a huge loss, for pennies on the dollar, to the city to use as our first city hall, which also held the police station and the fire department at that time. And again, these are just some of the things that he did. In 1905, you can imagine there were a lot of shocked and startled faces on Central Avenue when Tomlinson sputtered his way down the sand road at 6 miles an hour in his new horseless carriage, the city's first automobile that Tomlinson brought to the Sunshine City. But nobody was as shocked and startled as the federal government when he went to work to build a majestic building that's still there today. Now, Tomlinson is credited for creating our first open-air post office, and that first open-air post office was located on Central Avenue. It was a wooden structure, but the city needed a bigger post office. And back in the day, I mean, post offices were pretty much cookie cutter, and the, you know, the U.S. Postal Service in Washington would tell you how you would build your post office, and that's what you do. Well, this is St. Pete. We don't really, you know, we kind of do things our own way here. And this was the era of the whole, you know, influx of the Mediterranean Revival style. And we wanted, you know, all these cool-looking European-type buildings, and especially here in Florida and St. Petersburg, the era of no air conditioning. We wanted things outdoors, and we didn't want to be cooped up inside a, you know, cookie-cutter square building. So Tomlinson helped raise the money to build the current open air post office, which still exists today at 4th Street and First Avenue North. The ingenious design basically left the original structure with only without two exterior walls, creating the nation's first open air post office. And yes, by the way, the Postal Service was not happy about this until they actually saw the building, and then built more of them around the country. All of these things that Tomlinson did, you know, from starting with the musical instruments and the bunting for the Washington State birthday, all the way through to our first tourist attraction, to schools, to our first real hospital, to a church. And, you know, one of the things that people see nearly daily in St. Petersburg can be credited to him as well. As you drive through St. Pete, some of you still live on streets that are lined with red Augusta bricks. They have not been paved over yet. Well, Tomlinson was part of the group from the chamber that was, you know, looking for a company that could provide enough red bricks to pave the streets of St. Petersburg. And we're talking about 400 miles of streets that were going to eventually be paved. Well, Tomlinson informed the chamber that he had it covered. He discovered a company that he would contract with to provide all the bricks we needed. The Augusta Concrete Company, the Augusta Block Company, that created these red Augusta bricks that line our streets. Yes, he saw the word Augusta and immediately thought of his mother and wanted to make sure that his mom would be remembered throughout the streets of St. Petersburg. So Tomlinson made it his life mission, I think, to make St. Petersburg a better place, helping us, you know, grow from a small, sparsely populated town. I think when he arrived here, our population was around 2,000, actually, to the city that we started to become in the 1920s. He gave much of his life and his fortune to St. Petersburg. So when he arrived in St. Petersburg in the late 1800s, he was a millionaire. When Tomlinson dies in 1938, his net worth was $9,000. So you can see the amount of his fortune that he gave to the city. He was buried at Royal Palm Cemetery after receiving a military funeral from the American Legion. So these gentlemen and women that helped create the city, hopefully we'll be able to bring more of these to you here on Radio St. Pete. These are long lost folks who worked hard and gave much to create the city that we live in today. So thank you so much for joining us on Historically St. Pete and listening to my rant. I'm Edwin Tomlinson. I invite you to tune in weekly to RadioSt.Pete.com for Historically St. Pete, and to stop by the St. Pete Museum of History on your next visit to the pier to explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. You can visit historystpete.org for more details on our exhibits and events. Thanks for listening, and join us next week on Historically St. Pete.